It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining us today on the show. We're going to head directly out to the hotline. Welcome in from the ACC Digital Network, friend of the program, Mr. Wes Bryant. Wes, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, my man? Another football weekend. Hopefully everybody can get to play.
Yeah, I hear you on that, but I got some questions for you. I want to ask you today on the Thanksgiving front. Are you the guy that has to run to the store like for Thanksgiving? I'm asking because it seems like a lot of my friends, that's their job. The wife or girlfriend sends them to the store, mom sends them to the store, and they just end up having to go and buy, oh, I forgot to buy butter, or I forgot to buy this or buy that. That is my day tomorrow and Thursday for Thanksgiving. Is just running back and forth to the store. Do you face the same problem, sir?
Most of the time we're pretty buttoned up here. No wife and currently no girlfriend at the moment. But most of the time it's me and my mom and my son. So pretty small gathering. And we started to not get catered because we're not that fancy or bougie over here. But we have started to get we go to a local barbecue place. They do like a smoked turkey thing that you can get. You can get sides and different stuff like that. So we started doing that. We did that last year, actually. All the cooking and, you know, moms and people just cooking all day long. You know, we just like, hey, let's just go pick this up. We can warm everything up, make a couple of extra things, and call it a day. So we normally have everything we need by Wednesday night, no later than early Thursday morning.
Well, that I've got to get that to my wife so that we can stop doing all of this silliness where I go and spend all this money on things that she forgot. Anyway, that's just part of it. But I
hope she didn't hear that because then you might be. I hope she didn't hear that. You might be on the couch eating your dinner nighttime as well.
I'll be on the couch, but I'll be watching some ACC football this weekend because there is we have a great game on Friday that I think in the realms of the conference, everybody knows about it, but this game coming up on Friday with North Carolina and Notre Dame could rock the college football world, man.
Yeah, this is going to be a huge game. This was one of the marquee matchups that we saw at the beginning of the season when Notre Dame was added, as a member this season. Lacks a little bit of the luster, just a little bit, because North Carolina had some shortcomings earlier this year. But this should be a fantastic matchup. North Carolina's offense looks like it's firing on all cylinders right now, going up against a Notre Dame defense that's one of the best in the country, one of the top five units in the country, and pretty much tons of statistical categories. Notre Dame's offense looks it is at its peak as well, while North Carolina's defense is still struggling. So that's the rub with this game. Can North Carolina's defense muster up enough within the unit to get some stops and to be able to really make this a dogfight for the Irish?
Yeah, it is going to be an interesting matchup, and we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, the playoff implications for this, if North Carolina can pick up a win over Notre Dame, wow, that could throw a wrench into everything before we even play a game on Saturday. I mean,
that would be
crazy.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. But, yeah, it's crazy how much that one game can have that much of an effect. But as we get into late November, I mean, that's kind of the way things go, right?
Certainly, Notre Dame, they look like a football team right now that they kind of have their eyes on the prize. I think that Clemson win, as it should have, did wonders for them and their confidence. They look like a team that's focused and determined, and I think that win against Clemson really let them know that, hey, we really got a chance to compete with anybody in the country right now. Because when you look at Clemson, you know, they're similar with, you know, Alabama as far as matching up high-flying, explosive offenses. So I think that they you know, they're looking at that game and they just look like a team that's focused right now. And you kind of get the feeling that Carolina's just the next team in their way from their ultimate goal. So Carolina's got to come out early. Luckily, they get the game in Chapel Hill. And we'll see, you know, how they come out and play early. Because Notre Dame, I would imagine that game plan is going to be to eat clock, really establish their physicality on offense.
Right.
Eat up some clock, keep Sam Howell standing on the sidelines. And when they do get on the football field, put pressure on him and obviously get Carolina in a lot of three and out situations or situations where they're kicking field goals where they should be scoring touchdowns.
Well, we do have Clemson playing this weekend against Pitt, but the headlines have been dominated with Clemson still upset about what happened with Florida State. I'm sure you've been following along with this. Where do you stand on the – have you picked a side? Because it seems like you kind of have to, or at least my friends are like, man, what's wrong with you, Rob?
Well, Rob, you know, I can't dip my toes into that water because I don't want to get myself in any trouble here.
But it's just, shouldn't they just let it go? I mean, that's the, I hate to use the phrase from Frozen with my daughters, but let it go. It's over. I mean, you can't do much anything else about it now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation, like I said, because each side had, you know, things that they were upset about and. As I said, I guess it's still raw as we sit here on Tuesday morning for them. So, I mean, it was just one of those situations that just adds to the just the wildness of 2020. It's just new situations that we haven't seen before around every corner.
All right. Well, since we won't dip our feet into that, we can dip our feet into the matchup that Clemson's playing a Pitt team that is 4-4, but they do have the capability of being a really tough matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Pitt, this team, they should feel a little bit of excitement as the last time we saw them. They got a victory over Florida State. And this is a team that, you know, coming in against the Clemson Tigers, who they're going to be even more chomping at the bit to go because they didn't get to unleash on Florida State like they got to. And I'm sorry, let me correct myself there. The last time we saw this Pittsburgh team, they were coming off a second consecutive blowout over Virginia Tech. So let me correct myself there. But this is a team right now that they look like they're finding themselves just a little bit. Now, not the greatest barometer of opponents when you're looking at Florida State and when you look at Virginia Tech. But what's the one knock that we've had on Pittsburgh? They haven't been able to score points to match up with their defense, who can get to the quarterback and be really disruptive. They put up over 40 points in consecutive weeks. So I know they're going to look to be doing that. And I think they feel like they found a groove on offense. We know what this defense can do. We know they can apply pressure. We know they can get turnovers. So they're going to be looking to get with the Clemson Tigers and see just where they match up so far as they attempt to resurrect their season. But for Clemson right now, I just think this is a team that's really focused. You know, the added controversy of last week and not getting a play, and this team's chomping at the bit to go. Trevor Lawrence is back. He's looking to get back out there and reestablish himself as well. And also, it's giving Clemson a chance to get a little bit healthier, especially with some of those defensive starters that they had, and to lick some of their wounds from that Notre Dame game, because we know Brissy and a lot of guys, you know, got some bad injuries out there. So
right.
I look forward to seeing this Clemson team. I was on Saturday. I hate that we didn't get the chance to do that, but I'm certainly looking forward to seeing them play this weekend against a Pitt team, like I said, that's a little bit confident right now. So it could turn out to be a little bit more interesting than you think it will.
So you've also got NC State and Syracuse. That's the matchup at noon on Saturday. NC State with the win over Liberty, and they improve to what, 6-3 on the year? I mean, they're having a pretty good year up there in Raleigh-Durham.
Yeah, Dave Doran has really gotten them, you know, turned around this season from last year. They got a chance to get some guys back. Bailey Hockman didn't play great, but they got a great running back duo, Bam Knight, Ricky Person. They got a few playmakers on the outside that can make plays, win calls. But this defense, as I said, they're just, you know, they're opportunistic. And everybody, including myself, I thought that Liberty was going to come out of that game winning their third state against an ACC team. But NC State gets three turnovers, including a big block field goal at the end of that game. So, yeah, NC State really has gotten things going, and you hate it this year because a lot of the lower tier bowl games probably won't be played, so this team won't get a chance to pay off the season that they have. But it's going to get them a lot of momentum, and they'll look to keep it rolling against the Syracuse team, and I don't see any reason why they won't.
Yeah, and Syracuse kind of floundering a little bit as they sit at 1-8. Do you think that Dino Babers is may decide, hey, I want to go somewhere else and coach?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. It just depends on what type of suitors he has, and I think he's going to look at this Syracuse roster and evaluate that. But Dino doesn't strike me as that kind of guy. I think he's going to want to come there, and I don't think he would want to leave a place on a down note like this. I think he feels like with the recruits that he's been able to get in over the last few years, that this may have been the year that he was going to take his lumps to this degree. So I think that he's going to try to stay there and come back next year and really show the people that, hey, this Syracuse football team isn't what we showed in the 2020 season.
So Louisville and Boston College also match up this weekend. Louisville, they thumped Syracuse the last time they played, but Boston College, a one-point favorite at home. This should be an interesting matchup up there in Chestnut Hill.
Yeah, it should be. Louisville played well in their last outing, as you said. But this Boston College football team, I like them a lot. Jakovic has really been to me as advertised. I think he's had a really good year. All things considered, the future looks bright with him. It's just so interesting how Boston College hasn't been able to find a running game this year when that's what they've been known for pretty much for forever. So their main thing is they just need to find some balance this week. And Louisville, like I said, they'll look to keep the time's going, and they're going to try to finish the season and get as close to 500 as they can. But I like Boston College at home. As I said, Jurkovic and the crew, they look good. The defense has been decent. So it should be a good matchup. I think it'll be a competitive matchup. But I think Boston College will come out on top of that one.
All right, and then the final two games are with teams that are pretty much out of it. And what I mean by that is that when I look at this stuff, especially in the middle of a pandemic, I don't know how jacked up people are going to get or teams will get with Duke and Georgia Tech playing at 7 o'clock. And then Virginia and Florida State, it's going to be that matchup could be interesting because I think Bronco Mendenhall, I think they kind of may have turned the corner a little bit up there in Charlottesville. But it's almost not really a good barometer, though, with playing Florida State. But it seems like they're starting to figure it out up there, maybe just a little bit at Virginia.
Yeah, I think so, too. And as I said, they had to suffer through some injuries at the beginning of the season. But Brandon Armstrong looks like he's going to be one of the next, you know, quarterbacks in the league that's going to come in and do some damage. This offense, they look really good when he's at the helm. And like I said, Virginia, they've just been a team that's been getting healthier and better each week. And that's what you expect from Bronco Mendenhall. He's a smart coach. You know, he keeps the pulse of the team, and he knows what they need. And so I think this Virginia team, they got some young playmakers. You're talking about Kemp out at the wide receiver position. He looks like a stud. So they're just a few pieces away, and I think they're going to take this year and finish up. I think they should beat Florida State, get over 500 when at the beginning of the season it didn't look like that was going to be the case. But, yeah, I like this Virginia team a lot. Bronco's done a great job in getting them back on the winning track. I look for them, like I said, to finish the season over 500 as they come down the stretch.
So I think it's pretty much set in rock now that we have, what, basically three teams that have a shot to go to Charlotte with Clemson, Miami, and of course, Notre Dame. But, I mean, it was that kind of the way you thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season, or did you think that, North Carolina kind of tapering off a little bit may have did you foresee that happening?
Yeah. Miami was not the team I expected to be in the group of three. I predicted Notre Dame and Clemson at the beginning of the season. As soon as they announced Notre Dame was coming into the league, that was the team that I thought would face Clemson in Charlotte. We're headed towards that trajectory. But I thought that North Carolina was to be that third team that would be battling. And I thought that this would be an elimination game because it looks like North Carolina has lost. Talking about losing, which that one looking at, but in North Carolina. So that's been one of the biggest surprises this season for me, that North Carolina is not in the mix to go to Charlotte. But the top two guys, those were the two suspects I expected to be in Charlotte, and I think they will be.
All right, so interesting matchups this weekend starting on Friday, man, and I'm really looking forward to it. My final question for you, Wes Bryant from the ACC Digital Network, are you a guy that watches the NFL on Thanksgiving Day? Because I don't want – it's so weird because I follow it, but Thanksgiving Day, it just seems like I watch a ton of NFL games. I watch all three of them.
Well, NFL is actually my favorite sport. That and Major College Football, 1A, 1B for me. But I love NFL football, and I'm going to watch it anytime it's on. So you can bet Thanksgiving. Sometimes that noon game, though, it's a little, you know, especially when they play at Detroit. And normally, you know, I'm not that much into the Detroit game, but you watch it because it's football and it's NFL. So you're going to watch it and check it out and see what happens. But that game I'm kind of not as into as much as I am at the later games in the day, because you get the more you get kind of some more marquee teams and stuff like that, even though the Detroit Lions are a Thanksgiving staple. So
there you go with
the
that
game, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, hey, the Clemson fans are all going to watch Deshaun Watson up there with the Houston Texans, the best part of a bad football team playing another bad football team. In the Detroit Lions. So, yeah, there you go with that. All right, Wes, I appreciate you being on with us, man. I hope you and your son have a great Thanksgiving.
Same to you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Wes is on Twitter at WesGotRange. And, of course, you can follow him on the ACC Digital Network. We appreciate him joining the show, breaking down a little ACC football. You know, we're going to get into some of the stuff that went back and forth with Dabo Swinney and now the coach Mike Norvell down at Florida State. So, yeah, we'll get into that. And it's almost at the point now where you just got to let it go. But we'll talk about that when we come back here on The Rundown. We're going to take a break in a moment. But also today, I've been battling with some folks about the perfect Thanksgiving sides. And since today is my last show before Thanksgiving, if you want to call up and tell us about your favorite side item you have to have for Thanksgiving, feel free to do that at 803-978-1832. I told the wife I was going to put it to the people today. You can also respond online. And I'll take answers on Twitter as well, at Rob Sounds Good. My whole thought is that you have to have dressing. And then, of course, I think it's a Southern thing with the macaroni and cheese. And then after that, it's kind of a downhill slope from there. If you have cranberry, like, people are big on the whole cranberry sauce. What the hell do you do with that? I have no clue. I mean, if you're a person that likes the cranberry sauce, for me, it's very simple. The cranberry sauce goes into the trash can. It's like candy corn at Halloween. I don't see how people eat that stuff. I really don't. But we'll take calls on that as well at 803-978-1832. That is the number to call to join us here on The Rundown. We'll play you the clip of what Dabo Swinney said today and the clip of what Mike Norvell said. We'll get into that in just a moment. You're listening to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Down on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. We're going to call this the Gripe and Complain segment. And the reason that I'm calling it the Gripe and Complain segment is because I think that people should just learn to be adults and let things go. Now, I know some Clemson fans are going to get upset with me when I say that. And I'm not saying, well, I guess I am saying that. I think both Clemson and Florida State should just let this whole thing fizzle out. I mean, seriously. So, Dabo Swinney kind of went off a little bit on his radio show the other night, and Florida State responded today. Here is what Mike Norvell said today, kind of a shot back across the bow with Clemson and the asymptomatic players and what Mike Norvell and Florida State think about Clemson.
If they elect to practice symptomatic players, they can do that. If they elect to have whatever protocols that are in place, but when it comes to the well-being of our student athletes and the policies and procedures of what we're going to do, we're going to rely on our medical advisors to make the best call, and we're going to continue to support our players in all aspects of that.
Okay, he's taking the complete high road here. All right, let me make sure that I put this out there. I think that what Dabo Swinney has said has been correct. If you follow the conference protocols, then they should have played. Simple as that. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the whole thing of, well, they should come here to play us, or they should reimburse us. Look, if you want to get with someone and try to figure that out, that's fine. But in the end, you don't look any better when you do that. Okay? You said your piece on your teleconference on Sunday night. It shouldn't be coming up in the press conference today. Coach Swinney had comments today that are going to anger some Florida State fans.
You know, listen, I'm not really worried much about what they say down there in Tallahassee. That's for sure. You know, I've been in this league 18 years. I've been the head coach here 12. All right. You know, they've had 3 head coaches in 4 years. So decisions that they make, I'm not going to worry about advice from Tallahassee. I trust the people here, and I trust our doctors 100%.
All right, so let me break that down for you. Coach Dabo Swinney never really bats at another coach. I mean, it's pretty much the whole thing with Steve Spurrier back in the day when he was like, what, year 3, whatever, in the program? Whatever it was. Okay? But then he doesn't really take shots at anybody else. Now he's mad at Florida State and it's still bothering him. And here's the thing that's the worst part about it. It shouldn't bother him because of a couple of reasons. One, if they played Florida State, Clemson's going to win by probably 50 points. You don't believe me? Oh, well, how about a former Florida State alumni, Antonio Cromartie, said the same thing. You realize they're going to hang 80 on us, right? Read that full story. It's up on my blog page at foxsportsradio1400.com. The alumni from Florida State, all the great players that they had there, they know that they're a walking gong show down there. Okay? So Swinney takes his team on the field. I'm willing to bet if Swinney rolled out there with his number 2 guys, if he just told all the starters, have a seat. You guys, you enjoy the trip down here to Tallahassee. Drink you some Gatorade and watch the 2s go out there. Clemson wins by probably 2 touchdowns. That's how far Florida State is in the gutter right now. So that's thing number 1, that it shouldn't bother him at all. Okay? Thing number 2 is that, according to protocols, Clemson did everything they were supposed to do. So you've got the double whammy of, hey, I'm doing things that are right. And it should be all on Florida State. You don't need to continuously visit this over and over and over again. Even though you're right, why bother? Doesn't make any sense. So today, as we get closer to Thanksgiving, I hope that someone gets with Coach Sweeney and tells him, you realize Florida State's terrible, right? You realize they would take our 2s and they'd probably be better than anyone they've got on the roster right now, right? You realize that, right, Coach? Stop poking at him. It's no fun. We'll take calls on that at 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call. If you'd like to join us here on The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400, around the world on the iHeartRadio app, folks responding on the Facebook Live feed here today. Edwin says he's got to have deviled eggs at Thanksgiving. You know what? I will approve. All right. I'll do the deviled eggs. But to me, it's turkey, dressing, stuffing. We can add deviled eggs if we're going to have a rundown Thanksgiving dinner. We can add that. My daughter makes me like a pecan pie. So that's kind of on the list too. So yeah, we can definitely do that as well. But all this other stuff, man. My poor wife's making all this stuff when, you know, we have dinner with a good portion of our family, and she's making like baked beans and like green bean casserole, and then she asked me the other day, "Hey, if I make a yam casserole, would you eat it?" Or no, it was a squash casserole. Hell no. I'm not eating that. You out of your mind? I'm not eating a squash casserole on Thanksgiving. What is wrong with you, lady? Oh, man. Anyway, your Thanksgiving do's and don'ts. But when we come back from this break, there's been a lot of... I've got some stuff from Gamecock folks on the social media front talking about who they would like to have as their head coach. And some of them... I look at them and I'm like, no, you don't want this guy. You don't want this guy at all. We'll tell you about that. List of coaches that South Carolina doesn't need to entertain. That's where we'll go when we come back. You're listening to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. So there's lots of names that are being floated out there for the South Carolina Gamecock coaching search. A couple of names, there's been some names that I look at and I'm like, do people really want this guy? The first one is Hugh Freeze. Now, I know people are like, well, what is your thing with Hugh Freeze? It's a two-pronged thing with Freeze. When you hire Hugh Freeze, he's going to be here 3 years either way. Either he'll be here for 3 years and the Gamecocks will do well and then he's going to leave. Or he's going to be here for 3 years. He's going to do some of the same stuff that he did before. And the Gamecocks are going to have to find another coach. So in my opinion, hiring Hugh Freeze is not a good idea. That should be one of the, when I hear that, I'm like, you realize he's still, Ole Miss is still paying for his mistakes. So I don't understand the obsession with a lot of Gamecock fans with, hey, let's get Hugh Freeze. No, that doesn't make any sense. Okay. A friend of mine sent me this, and this was posted in a Facebook group that's supposedly all Gamecock fans. And it says, does anyone beside me think it wouldn't break the bank to seduce Les Miles to leave the dumpster fire that is Kansas football? Would it be worth it? If you look at Les Miles, he was pretty much ran off at LSU. I mean, I think that's kind of the way that it went. In 2016, he left LSU with a 2-2 record. At LSU, in his times that he was there, he had some success. 2005, 11-2. 2006, 11-2. Same thing in 2007. And as you look down, 2011, I think that's the year they won the national title. They went 13-1. After that, it kind of steeped off from there. A couple of 10-3 seasons. Then they go 8-5, 9-3, and then 2-2. He goes to Kansas. Now, I understand that Kansas is not a good program, okay? But in the past 3 years that he's coached football, he has a combined total of 5 wins. And 2 losses to Coastal Carolina. No disrespect to Coastal Carolina. They're a top 15 team in the country. But the reality is, if you play in a Power 5 conference, you probably shouldn't lose very many games to Sun Belt teams. Just saying. That should be a prerequisite for if you're at a Power 5 job. Don't lose to Sun Belt teams. I don't think that's asking much. Okay? Don't lose to Sun Belt teams. And that should be one of those things that they put out there, that if you lose to a Sun Belt team once, but okay, we can deal with it. But if you lose to the to two Sun Belt teams, we should be able to fire you with cause. That just shouldn't happen. But if you watch that Kansas-Coastal Carolina game, Coastal Carolina looked like a bigger football team. They looked like they had bigger guys. And what does that come back to? Les Miles still has to recruit and do some work there, I guess. They're 0-7 this year, though. That's not very good. So Les Miles should not be anywhere remotely near the list of someone that's going to come to South Carolina to be the head coach. You talk about a move up, by the way. What has Les Miles done to warrant the move to go from Kansas to South Carolina? South Carolina is a much better job than Kansas. Than Kansas will ever be, in my opinion. Folks are saying Les Miles is a great guy. Okay. I mean, there's lots of great guys out there. By all accounts, Will Muschamp was a great guy. Just saying. But the thought of Les Miles coming to Columbia is silly, to say the least. There are other coaches that are out there that I think about that we were talking about this on the fifth quarter postgame show the other night. Why isn't a coach like Ty Willingham, why hasn't he been given another shot? I mean, there's coaches that are out there that are like that. It seems like we get nothing but retreads over and over and over again. But guys that may have fallen off a little bit, nah, they don't get another shot. I don't understand that. If we're going to go with retreads, at least try some other folks. By the way, there was an interesting article on The Athletic today talking with Deuce Staley and how he is he's kind of improved the culture with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think there's something with he's got some education stuff to fix up, but if you could hire him at South Carolina, that would be a great hire. But bringing back Les Miles, no. Not feeling that at all. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. Those two names right there, Hugh Freeze and Les Miles, shouldn't even be remotely in the conversation. And you know what? I firmly believe that I don't think that Ray Tanner is going to hire someone like Hugh Freeze with the past that he has. That's just my opinion. If he hires Hugh Freeze, then I will apologize. But I just don't think that that fits the mold of what Ray Tanner wants. It's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I think hiring Hugh Freeze is an absolute, hey, we just want to hire somebody for 3 years. We don't think enough of our program to try to get someone that wants to be here for an extended period of time. And trust me, Hugh Freeze would lie to you. Oh, I want to come to South Carolina and be there forever. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He wants to use this as a stepping stone job to get an Alabama job, a Florida job, insert wherever. Marquee, huge, huge headlining job. That's what he wants. There's been talk, too, about some other interesting candidates that are out there. And, you know, the Shane Beamer thing. You know, we talked with Josh Pate from 247 Sports. An intriguing name that's out there. I still like Billy Napier at LSU. Not LSU. Why am I saying LSU? Down at Louisiana. The LSU folks that listen to the show on the podcast are going to yell at me later on. But, yeah, I think that he would be great simply because he knows the area. And if you look at his team, he gets guys that are 1- and 2-star guys and makes them great players. That's kind of what South Carolina needs right now. So there you go with that. We'll take your calls on that at 803-978-1832. If you want to call up and tell us what you're doing for as far as your Thanksgiving menu, because I'm a chunky guy and I like food, would love to hear that as well. 803-978-1832. Harry says he's having white wine roasted turkey. You know, my wife does this whole brine turkey thing where she like we get a cooler and then we soak it in, like, I don't know. I don't know what she does with it. Okay. She just tells me to go get stuff and then I go get it. That's kind of where we are from here. But the brine turkey is what we do. I think one year we did a fried turkey. We did that out in the backyard, though, and I was scared we were going to blow something up. By the way, there's some good Google stuff there. Google turkey frying, where people, not the ones where people get hurt, but the ones where they're running away from the turkey as it's frying. That's pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff. But getting back to the whole thing, Billy Napier seems to be me to be the guy that would make the most sense. And I think there's a piece of him that doesn't like Dabo Swinney. I don't think he would tell anybody that. But I think there's a piece of him that's like, you know what? I could go up back to South Carolina and maybe I could be the one that turns that Gamecock program around and gets it back to a point where they're on equal footing with the Tigers. Maybe he thinks that way. These are thoughts that go through my head, by the way. I don't think he would ever tell us that with the mics on, but I bet in his heart he feels it. I would feel it if the same thing happened to me somewhere. Trust me, I would feel the exact same way. Ooh, everybody's telling me what they're making on online over here. We'll share that with you when we come back. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call. My name is Rob Sanders. We will be right back with The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Appreciate you checking us out today. We have got our final segment before I am done for the week. Yes, for the week. Yeah, buddy. So I've got to give you some picks here. I forgot, man. And I forgot to do this too. People are going to be upset. Let me bring up the, make sure I can find it. Oh, here we go. All right. I forgot. Here we go. Enjoy yourself some Tom Jones.
It's not unusual, you want to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual, you want to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual, you want to see me cry. I wanna die.
Tom Jones, generally a Friday tradition here on The Rundown, and then I give you my picks. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know why everybody's laughing at me on the Facebook Live. I play Tom Jones every single Friday. Yes, I will be on the air on Saturday with our best Gamecock coverage on our sister station, News Radio 560 WVOC, 103.5 FM, for the folks that like to hear my wonderful voice in stereo. Anyway, here we go. We're going to give you my picks for the week. Notre Dame and North Carolina. Notre Dame started out as a 7.5-point favorite. I hate to be this guy, but I think North Carolina beats them. This is at North Carolina, 3:30 in the afternoon. I can't remember the last time Notre Dame played a game that was on a Sunday. I mean, that was on a Friday instead of a Saturday. I can't remember. A regular season game? Can't remember. I think North Carolina gets the upset. So take North Carolina. If they're going to give you 7.5 points, then you can just laugh your way all the way to the bank. All right, Oregon State. I'm not sure if that matchup is still going to be played. They are a 16.5-point favorite. Oregon is. Roll with the Ducks. Nebraska and Iowa. Roll with Iowa minus 12. Nebraska is terrible. Man, they were wanting to play so bad at the beginning of the season, and then they've ended up being not very good. I'm looking straight up and down the lines here. Georgia and South Carolina. Georgia started out as an 18-point favorite. That line is up to 21.5. Yeah, this game's going to be interesting to me because, I mean, does Georgia care? If Georgia cares, then Georgia will cover. If South Carolina cares, then South Carolina will get within that amount of points. And we don't really know, to be completely honest with you. Kentucky and Florida. Florida's a 21.5-point favorite. I'm going to say roll with Kentucky here, simply because I think Florida's coasting. And I think that Mark Stoops broke a foot off in somebody after they got hammered by Alabama. They're going to lose, but they're going to lose by like 17 points. Pitt and Clemson. Clemson's a 26-point favorite. We've talked more about Florida State and Clemson this week than Pitt and Clemson. Look for Clemson to keep that game. I think they'll win by 26. We'll go with Clemson. The battle for Paul Bunyan's axe, Minnesota and Wisconsin. That's like my favorite visual of the year when they walk out with the big axe like a bunch of cavemen at the end of the game. So Wisconsin's a 21-point favorite over Minnesota. I think I'm going to go with the Badgers here to cover. Cincinnati is a 32-point favorite over Temple. Take Cincinnati. Virginia and Florida State. Florida State, man, they're just terrible. Give me Virginia to cover the 10 there. Northwestern and Michigan State. Northwestern's a 9-point favorite. Go with the smart kids. Penn State and Michigan. Michigan is a 4-point favorite. I think James Franklin gets his first win of the season. Yes, I think they get their first win of the season, and they do it in the Big House, and the fire underneath Jim Harbaugh's seat will go from where it is now to roasting. Roasting with that matchup. NC State's a 15-point favorite over Syracuse. Take Syracuse. I don't know why. It's just something in my gut that says that NC State's going to be, They're going to be kind of flat. Duke and Georgia Tech's a pick'em. I'm going to go with David Cutcliffe in a pick'em type environment. Oklahoma and West Virginia. Oklahoma's a 10-point favorite. Take the Sooners, who seem to have figured it out. Indiana and Maryland also match up at noon. Indiana's a 15-point favorite in that game. You know what? I think Maryland will get within 15. Just my opinion on that. We'll see how that rolls out. Let's see if there's any other matchups that are worth me mentioning here. Oh, Mizzou is playing Vanderbilt. Take Mizzou, because I'm sure they made the changes in the SEC schedule. Vanderbilt was supposed to play Tennessee this weekend. That didn't happen. Vanderbilt is a 2-point favorite over Mizzou. Mizzou is going to stomp Vanderbilt. In Como, they're going to knock them senseless. Oh, the Iron Bowl, Auburn and Alabama. Alabama's a 23.5-point favorite. I've struggled with this matchup, and I'll tell you why. I'm not buying into Kellen Lamond being this absolutely great quarterback. So Alabama has played no quarterbacks that are worth anything. So they're going to face a quarterback in Bo Nix who can make all the throws, can run around a little bit. And when you got a guy that can run around just a little bit, that seems to mess up Nick Saban and what he tries to do. And let's bear in mind, the Alabama defense is hot dog water. That is not a national championship type defense. They're number one in the country simply because of that offense. Now, I know people are like, oh, well, look what they did against Kentucky. Kentucky is running some, their offense is really bad. Really bad. Okay? So, I'm taking Auburn all day with a 23.5. All day long. I think Alabama wins, but Auburn definitely covers. The Egg Bowl, Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a 12-point favorite in this game. Here's what I like about this game. Ole Miss is going to score points. We know that. Mississippi State has the opportunity to go light up that DJ Durkin-led defense again that everybody is lit up. This game's going to be like, the over and under of this is at 67. Take the over. I think both teams score 40 by themselves. Okay? But give me Mississippi State. I'll take Ole Miss and give up the 12. I think they get a late touchdown to get that cover there. And final matchup that we'll have here is LSU and Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a 14.5-point underdog. They've been living on borrow time for a long time. I know that they beat Florida. Okay? there's a part of me that thinks that Ed Orgeron's going to go and, I don't know, buckle down and figure out some way to get LSU to win this weekend. I don't think they're going to, but I think that LSU will cover the 14. So there you go with that. There are my picks for the weekend and the week ahead. I also like, for your daily fantasy stuff for Thursday, if you're playing, I like Deshaun Watson to light up that Detroit Lions defense at high noon on Thanksgiving Day. If you're one of the folks that play that, yeah, check that out, because that's going to be something that he'll have the performance of the day in my mind. All right, so one other note before we get out of here. The Braves have signed Charlie Morton. 1 year, $15 million contract. This guy's got, I mean, he's a left-hander. I think that's a great move for the Braves. So I want to put that out there, too, for folks that follow the winter baseball stuff. Don't forget, you got basketball this weekend or this next couple days, too. South Carolina's playing Coker, the Coker College Cobras, as they will come into they'll come here to Columbia. Clemson plays Mississippi State. So an ACC-SEC matchup. I think I haven't put this out there yet, but I think both South Carolina and Clemson make the NCAA tournament. Hopefully we'll have it this year, because it kind of, you know, didn't happen last year. But I think both teams will make the NCAA tournament this year. Both are really good. All right, for the folks watching online, we appreciate you. For the folks listening, you guys rock, and I'm thankful for all of you. I will be off the air tomorrow, but I will be back at it with our fifth quarter postgame show and the pregame on 560 WVOC. More of the rundown on Monday. Have a good Thanksgiving.